Welcome once again to the messages of St. Jude the Apostle Anglican Church. In this Good Friday message, Pastor Andrew reflects on the pressures our world now places on us, and how they resemble the sifting that Jesus spoke to Peter about before the crucifixion.
I want to begin this particular message reading from Luke 22, verse 31, the night before. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." But Peter said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." But Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me." Now, this is a famous sense of Peter's denial, but Luke pulls something together a little bit more powerful. When Jesus says that they are about to go through something that they are so unprepared for, they're about to go through something that is just going to throw them to the depths of their being. And for Peter especially, it's going to throw every sense of his understanding of himself is going to be knocked down. And Jesus says, "I'm praying for you." God has given Satan permission to sift you and the other disciples. And I've been praying for you that your faith might not fail. Now, Jesus does not mean that Peter's denial was a loss of his faith. It certainly exposed the deep human weakness he had, if at any point, and he often did, trust in his own opinion and trust in himself. That opinion, that trust, that belief in himself was about to be dashed to the ground. But that was not a failure. His failure would have been to not get up again and come back to Jesus. This is what Jesus says. "And when you have returned to me," and then instructs him to look after the brethren. And it's the second thing that Jesus does in the Easter period, where he challenges Peter about the denials. And in each of those cases, in each of the three times, Jesus asks him to tend to the brethren, to look after my sheep, to look after my lambs. So why do I raise this? Is that we again have just come out of lockdown. And there are different opinions about the whole COVID issues, different political feelings, different religious feelings, different senses of what caused it, what it means. And I want to respect those. I don't want to look at that. What I want to look at is the impact of lockdown, especially on us guys. It seems somehow to have thrown us in ways that we can't understand. It has so undermined our confidence in what we knew, and what we trusted, and what we hoped, and what we expected in the near future and down the road. And as we know, many, many people's lives have been so disorientated, out of jobs, out of businesses. People caught in fear, anxiety, by a bug, a virus. And somehow we want to fight it, but it's unseen. And we're told that the best way to fight it is to flee, to lock down, to hide from it, to suspend its action by isolating it through isolating ourselves. And we're seriously not used to that. We're seriously not prepared for it. The first lockdown, which was quite lengthy, we actually managed to get our way through things, and we're looking at a lot of the order of services that we'd done, the video we'd done, and the sermons that we prepared. And we realized that this week we couldn't actually reenact that. We couldn't go back and do that if this weekend was off. Firstly, instead of allowing something like 10 of the team to do the work, we're only allowed 2 people. And so we couldn't recreate the singing, we couldn't recreate the services, and we would be just really a very style sense of message. So we were prepared to edit last year's services and put them up, knowing that they were going to be inadequate too. I read a number of articles about the issue of how COVID has been affecting us and how the lockdowns, and found some distressing thoughts. Some were saying that Christianity has no answer to this, and not only doesn't have any answer, it actually shouldn't be thought to have any answer. And that threw me quite well, because we just celebrated something in the first part of our service that challenges that to the depths of its being. We don't understand the cross. We don't understand how the Son of the living God in the incarnated person of Jesus Christ, which means God become man, we can't understand how that simple action of Jesus to take the cross resolves the planet's issues. Because, of course, the planet hasn't been resolved completely. And yet the very action of the cross that Jesus did, and the reason we had the children's item, because it really laid it out very clearly that God forgets our sin. Do you know why he forgets our sin? Is that when he sees us, he sees his Son on the cross. It doesn't matter what we've done. He forgets it. Once we come to him. Once we come to him through Jesus and confess our sins, the sins are now forgotten. When the priest does the absolution after our confession, it's like the sins have been wiped clean. They don't exist anymore. That forgiveness and that cleansing and the empowering of the Spirit that comes through the process of our conversion to Christ, our receiving him and what he's done for us, it changes us. And it changes some really rotten people into people, men and women, filled with love that they never had. And one of the things that we misunderstand, I think, sometimes, is we just think we can get through it by ourselves. We don't understand that Jesus, even in his ministry, did not do it by himself. Luke points out time and time again the working of the Holy Spirit through Jesus in the healings and the miracles that were done. And Jesus himself, time and time again, especially in John's Gospel, tells us how he relies on the Father. In fact, to the extent that he only does what he sees the Father doing. He only does the will of God not his own will. And even when it came to the final decision to go to the cross, he asked for it to be taken away. Is there any other way, Father? Now, we don't know what God said to him at that point, but we do know he said, yep, you're right. This is the way. But through this very strange action of the Son of God, we are forgiven and we are set free. Now, as I reflected further on the issue of how lockdown affects us, not only throws our plans out, which it certainly did this week, it leaves us in a peculiar place. If we had difficulties before COVID, COVID wasn't going to help them. We're now working from home. We've got more time. But time wasn't there. And we don't understand the weariness and the tiredness that comes through the whole thing. We don't understand the tensions that arise, the difficulties to be overcome, the fears to be put down, the anxieties to be resolved. And coming out of COVID, we still feel the impact of it in many, many ways. And so what Jesus says to Peter here, that Satan has asked that he might sift you. As we gave thought to Maundy Thursday night, we actually can't understand or reenact what happened at that dinner. We can't understand the tensions, the hopes, the expectations, the lies, the deception that was in that room. We might understand it in situations we've been in. But we can't reenact the very things that made up this supper that Jesus had with disciples and what followed it. And in a sense, as we come out of COVID, we need to realize we've been sifted. Whether it's the devil sifting us, don't really need the devil to do much. The world did it for him. The whole issues of lockdown, of freedom, all those things. We were sifted and are still being sifted. And Jesus is actually praying for us that our faith might not fail. And then we need to come back to him. You might say, well, we haven't left him. But I think that the lockdown and its aspects brought a separation between us and God we hadn't seen before. Prayer was difficult. Bible reading was difficult. The ordinary things that we did became more difficult. In the same way that as Peter was crushed by his own actions, in the midst of being so thrown by the arrest and execution of Jesus, the man was just totally devastated in himself. But then he came back. He found a hope that somehow or other God had not lost control, that God was still in charge, even though everything told him that was not true. God had not forgotten. God was in control. And on the third day, he raised Jesus Christ from the dead bodily. Broke the power of death, broke the power of the enemy, broke the power of the principalities and powers, broke the power of sin in our own life, broke the power of our anger, our bitterness, and our resentment, and our malices, and set before us an opportunity of a totally new life through our reception of the risen Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, who on the cross achieved a forgiveness for us, achieved a new spiritual, physical, and emotional life And as Peter came back to Jesus, and he came back in shame. He really was ashamed of himself. But he came back. And Jesus not only restored him in his own personhood, but extended his ministry beyond anything he could have thought of or expected. That there is power in the cross of Jesus Christ. There's a strength and a life in that power that will break all the things that have afflicted us if we come back to him, acknowledge him again, and hand over the controls again, and let him guide our life. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you sent your Son, that you loved us so much that you gave your Son for us, that we might not perish, but have eternal life. Lord, we commit to you again this day. We come back in faith to you and to ask that you would strengthen, enthuse us, heal us, and restore us, that we then might strengthen our brethren. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You can hear more great messages from Pastor Andrew by checking out our Facebook page or looking up St. Jude the Apostle on the net.